Today, we're going to be talking about the Church of the Laodiceans. Did I pronounce that right? Laodicean. We've done a series on these churches a good while back. We had a movie on them and a film, and they were real interesting. We heard a lot of good things about these churches and all seven of them, and this was the last church that Jesus brought up. And there's no way I can go through all that was said about this church. But there are some things that we need to know about it, I think. And one of them is they had to pipe their water in, if you use the word pipe. They built a tray or whatever to bring the water from about 7-8 miles away from hot springs to get the water to them. And by the time it got there, it was already hot, but then by then it did cool some, but it was just lukewarm when it got to where it needed to go. And it's funny how God took a situation like that, something they would be familiar with, and made a sermon with it, or got them to see themselves of who they were. And also, it was a city that was wealthy. They had produced a lot of cloth and that kind of thing. And people bought a lot of cloth and beautiful cloth that they made, industrial type thing. And the city became wealthy. And, they were just, and they had an eye salve that they'd come up with to help people with their sore eyes and stuff, physical eyes. And they just was a prospering city. So we keep that in mind as we go through this. It will help us a little bit, I think. They were a church. This church, Jesus, of course, we're going to see this is Jesus here speaking, going to send an angel to these people. And we'll see what he said in a minute. But let me read right here where we start. It says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Jesus is sending a message to this church. And you ever wondered, I know he has, but let's pretend just a minute. Let's say that an angel showed up here today. And he had a message from God Almighty to us, this church. Wonder what he would say. I just wonder what he would say. And you know, I would hope it would be something good. And I know that's not going to happen per se, but God is looking at this church. Right now, he knows more about us than we know about ourselves. But the problem with this church was this. Listen what he said. "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm sorry, I will vomit you out of my mouth." How would you feel if Jesus said that about us? He was actually come to a place with this congregation here that he was sick of them. He was ready to vomit them out of his mouth. He had had enough. And, you know, we don't know all that had been said or been brought to these people through the Word of God, through prophets maybe at that time. I don't know how long God had been working with these people to help them get further along than they were. Now, there may have been a time, I believe, yet they probably was not lukewarm. But you see, they had come to a place, something had happened. Something had happened, and they began to drift. And they wasn't either hot nor cold. Now, what does that mean? It means this: they wasn't really totally out, but they wasn't really totally in. You know what I'm talking about? I believe they still may have been coming to church. They probably would sit in a pew. They probably would have been around this table. But something was wrong. Something was wrong. Lukewarm. What does that really mean? I think most of them know what lukewarmness means. What's wrong with that? I mean, come on. What's the problem with lukewarm? Well, the biggest problem with lukewarmness, you don't really know where that person's at most of the time. They could be wherever. But they got a problem. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because this church had a real problem, and God had come to a place, and we'll see it a little bit later, where he was at in all this. We do not want to become lukewarm people. We don't want to do that. We don't. And what happened? What caused this lukewarmness? But before I get there, I want to tell you what this means. Because he said, right here, he said in 2 Corinthians, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what is done. Why did he bring that up? You see, there's a judgment day coming, and in God's mercy, he goes to this church and he tells them ahead of time, he said, look, get this act together. Straighten this out. Let's get out of this lukewarm situation, because there's a judgment day coming one day. And see, God, and he's so wonderful, he puts up with us through our lukewarmness or anything else that we find, that he finds it's not suitable. And he wants us to work through that. He wants us to try to come to our senses when we find ourselves over here somewhere where we shouldn't be. We'll see in a minute that he's got a thing called repentance. He wants us to straighten our act up. Because one day, each of us, all of us, will one day stand and look God, Jesus Christ, dead in the eye, right in the face. And we're going to answer for who we are right now. See, our judgment is being set right now. And we go out of this world in a lukewarm state, we'll see what happens. What is the point here? Well, what caused all of this problem of the lukewarmness anyway is something that we all can identify with, I believe. You know what that is? Wealth. Now, because you say I am rich, this is what their problem was. Because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You say, well, I'm not rich. I'm not wealthy. Well, I assure you one thing, God's taking care of you, and you're probably better off than a lot of other people out here. It doesn't matter how much you got, it's what you do with what you got. And see, what happened to these people? They had come to a place to depend upon their bank account. They had come to a place to depend upon their jobs, their money, the world. Let's put it that way. And the world became more important to them than the Lord. Now again, I'm not taking away from the idea that they didn't have a place in the church. I bet some of them sat in a pew, same pew like we do all the time. But you see, what happened was their mindset became more toward the world and the things of the world. You know, Jesus, we are told in John, do not love the world, the things of the world, because the things of the world do not love them. Do not love it. But it's hard to for us, all of us. When you start in life, you want to go out and get the best job you can get, and nothing wrong with this. How many of y'all like to have a new car right now? I like to have one. Anybody want to buy me one, that'd be all right. Maybe a bigger house, or maybe a bigger bank account. You know, we all want more. That's the human nature. That's the fallen nature, because that's what we like. We like stuff. Don't kid ourselves. And nothing wrong with stuff. But the problem that happened here to this church was their stuff blinded them and got in the way of Christ. And they kind of put him on the back burner, if you will, because their drive to have the best house, more money, this, that, that. And it became a place to where Christ would show up maybe 1 or 2 hours a week. Rest of the week, I'm after stuff. Whatever that life has out here for us. And I believe that's where this place was. I believe that's where these people were. I really do. I think they had got away from Christ to the point that they lost their zeal for him. They had lost their enthusiasm for him. It's kind of, and I'm not, it's kind of like Calvin was saying, I'm not beating you up, Calvin, but I'm just saying, it's a difference. Let me show y'all something. Well, we got to get up, I got to go to church today. Oh, gosh. Come on, we got to go. We know we need to be there. Can't wait. I'll get there. I really can't. You can sit in enthusiasm. I can't. Yeah. Got to go. But then you got the other way to do it. I can't wait. Let's go to church, man. Let's go serve the Lord. Let's worship God. Two different ways, two different attitudes. You either want to do it, or you have to do it. Which way you want to do it? You know, if you got to force people to come, you got to force people to come to a Bible study. You got to force people to come to church. You got to force people to do this. You force people to do that. I second guess the situation here. The evidence of the heart showing up here. Our enthusiasm and our zeal and our excitement for Christ ought to be something I want to do. I want to do it. Can I do it? What can I do? That'd be good. I'll do that. I'll go tell people about Jesus. This is what happened to this church. The world caught up with them. They got more involved with that than Jesus. And you know, it's sad when we can't be excited and enthusiastic about our Savior. Can we do enough for him? Can we? I don't think so. We all can step up. I'm not chewing you out here. I'm just trying to tell you how I'm thinking about it, because once I started looking at this, I'm thinking, my first question is, it was this. Am I lukewarm? That's a good question for all of us. Because we're going to see that is a dangerous place to be. How would you feel if you're standing there on Judgment Day, and I'm talking to me, and I go up to Jesus and he says, Larry, you know what? I'm sick of you. In fact, how would you feel about that? I wouldn't feel too good about it. I said, Lord, I thought I see, these people didn't know that they were in this condition. That's the big clinch for the devil here. He can get you in a place you don't even know you're there. And they were in this place, and we'll sit in a minute. They didn't even know they were wretched and poor and naked. They thought they was doing God a favor. God said, you're doing me no favor. See, it's a challenge for us to see a church like this, and God don't give us just good reading. It's just not something just to read good. No, he wants us to look at it and think about it. And look where they were. How did Jesus see them? Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They didn't even know it. They didn't know what it was. They thought they were, yeah, Jesus. They thought they were doing good. Until he called them down. Gosh. When I saw that, I thought, you know, if I could do anything for you guys to help us all see the question, where are we with Christ? Where are we with Christ? I'm talking about me too. What can we do for the Lord to make a difference? Hey, I'm not saying we're not. I don't know where you are. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I'm not. I got to step the game up. I got to step the game up. Because you know what? My Savior's worth it. He's worth it. Because when he hung on that cross, he said, if you're going to be mine, it's going to cost you, boy. It's going to cost you. And if you're not really ready to take the cost, might as well pack up. It's awful to think that way, but that's the way he saw this. They were depending on themselves and what they had and who they were. They kind of elevated. They thought they were something. Wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. You know, Matthew said this. Jesus said to his disciples, surely I say to you that it is hard for a man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? Because the world, the riches of the world, the devil uses it big time. And we think because we're being blessed because we've got a big bank account, maybe for two or three cars. God's blessing us because we got all this stuff. Really? You better second guess it. Maybe the devil's blessing you. But we Christians, so all I'm trying to say is that you and I have a responsibility to examine ourselves. And that's why these messages are to be put out here for all of us. Because it's our responsibility, the elders here, to keep us in tune with Christ. We can't drift. We now can see the grace of God at work here, though. As much as sick as they were making him, as sick as he was about it, he loved them. And he was going to give them a chance to repent of it, to give them another chance to get it right. That's the kind of guy we got. He sees us straying off and falling away and all this. And, you know, he loves us so much, he just keeps giving that grace to come back, come back, come back. We need to learn that from him, too. Those that we love who stray, we need to keep praying, keep working, hoping that they'll come back, because that's what God's doing. That's what God's doing. He said here, I'll counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich and with white garments, that you may be clothed, that your shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Not with physical eye salve that they were making. He's telling them, look, start listening to me and opening your mind and heart to me, that I could help you see what, how you really are. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And Calvin used that this morning. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him. He was trying to even get in his own church. That's hard for me to find. He didn't got so tired of him, so sick of him, he just said, look, I'm leaving. I'm going to stand out here till y'all get it straightened out. God is merciful. He loves us, but he can't put up with us so much. He draws a line in the sand. He said, I'm not, if you cross that, I'm done. I can't deal with that no more. He puts up with a lot. He's still dealing with this, really. He's still giving them a chance. He said, if you'll just turn it around, get zeal for my name again. Get excited about my name. Start living the life that I ask. There's nothing wrong with working. We need to work. I was hoping some young people would be here. I'd tell them, look, go out there and fulfill your dreams. Go out there and work hard and make a living and buy you a car, a train, or whatever you want to buy. Go out there and make a life for yourself. But remember one thing. Remember this. Keep God first. Don't put him on the back burner. Don't act like you only need him an hour a week. We need him every day of our life. This is what happened to these people. We don't want to become these kind of people. He said, behold, I stand and knock. He'll come in, I believe, honestly. This is what struck me. I believe they were doing the Lord's table. I believe they're still doing that. He said, if you let me in, I'll come in and dine with you. See, I believe they're going through the Lord's table, but I don't think he's involved in it. Until they get their heart right, then I'll dine with you. I really believe that. See, we have to get out of this mindset, as long as I come here on a Sunday morning and go through this ritual, I'm good to go. That is not Christianity. Christianity is a lifestyle. Every day of the week. And I'm not saying you're not living it. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what this church got into. I'm saying this is what happened to this church. They had come to a place, they got too laxed. We don't want to get too laxed, y'all. I don't know about you, but it fears me to fall into this, because this is the one place, the only place that God, you know, this is the only church he had nothing good to say about? Nothing. Nothing. The reward for those who will overcome, though, those who would take this warning and say, man, I got it wrong, I got to straighten this out, and they repented, what did he say would happen? To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Can y'all imagine what it would be like to sit on the throne with Jesus? That's what he said. If you overcome, you'll be able to sit with me on my throne, just like I overcame and sat with my Father on his. Tell me that ain't a reward. But this is, I use this verse because now I can see it plainer. Look what he said. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and what? Washed us in his, washed our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to God the Father, and to him be the glory and dominion forever. See, he's kind of elevated us right up there. If we faithful to sit with him in that realm beyond what we could even imagine right now. Why? You know, it ain't enough things in this world. Not enough whatever you could name it. Goods of any kind. Any glory of any kind that this world can offer that should take us away from this. That one day we're going to have be elevated right up with him in that kingdom to come, to sit with him. But yet, people throw it away all the time. They throw it away all the time. It's not enough entertainment. It's not enough joy. It's not enough. It's not worth it for some people. He who has an ear, he's talking not only to that church, but he's talking to us. Can you hear? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to all of the churches. That's me, this church, whatever church is out here that's doing the will of God. He said, you hear what I've said. Be sure you know what I mean when I talk to this church, that it's applying to you and to me. I love y'all. I do. And you take a lesson like this, kind of gets down to where the rubber meets the road, and it kind of challenges us. But that's the point. It should. Because we've heard enough of love stories. Don't get me wrong. God is love. This proves it right here because he's still trying to get these people to turn around. But we got a goal to reach. We got to make sure that we're on that final destination. And that's not going to happen being lukewarm. It just won't happen. There's one more thing I want to add here. The warning for the rich. And you say, well, I'm not rich. You don't have to be rich, rich. We don't all have to be millionaires. But we can let our goods, we can let the world divide us away from Christ in any context, whatever that may be. Now, original message like this is hard because we don't like nobody messing with our stuff. We like what we have. We like our goods. We like every dollar that we can get a hold of. We like a big bank account. We like our cars. We like our airplanes. We like whatever we got. And there's nothing wrong with all that except we let it take us down a road to divide us from Christ a lot of times. The idea is here, what's most important in your life? Make money, grab things of the world, or Christ? This church failed because the world became more important. Paul left this intent to Timothy. He told Timothy, he said, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. You know, we would not have anything we got if God didn't give it to us. Give us the ability to get it. He puts the breath in our body. He gives us the health to get what we have. He could take it in a moment. Even on before you was even saved, before I was saved, He reigns on the just and the unjust. He gives graciously to everybody if they'll accept it, that He did it. We've talked to a couple of people that has made statements to us, me and Susan, or Susan and I guess. He says, they've said, we don't need God. We got everything we need. Out of that kind of statement, though, the ignorance of it is, they don't even know God could take it in a heartbeat. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works. You know, there's nothing wrong with money. A lot of people that love God and do a lot for God have a lot of money. They can do a lot for God. They could help build buildings. They could help people that things that are needed. And I mean, it's nothing wrong with money. I'm not trying to say the money is the problem. The heart's a problem. What we do with it. Be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. Why? That they may lay hold of eternal life. Isn't that our goal? Isn't that our goal? I wonder how many times that we actually put the world, things of the world, things we want more than we really need before being around this table. See, we could play games with God if we want. Dangerous place to be. See, I'm not saying we can't ever miss, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. We can miss, or we can do it the other way. We could be around this table every week and wish we were somewhere else. See, the whole thing boils down to one thing to this church, the Laodiceans. Their heart wasn't in what they were doing. It's going through the motions. We don't be there. Money. World, things of the world. It could change us. We've all been faced with it. I'm going to have a, let me see.